I mean right now, while I'm talking. Phase A of the series. We're going to look first at groups 1 and 2. Now, it says, group 1, sealed, saved souls in heaven. That's where this group 1 is. Awaiting new coverings on 7th trumpet rapture and vials of wrath. That's what they're waiting for. Now, in Revelation 6, 9, 11a, and when he had opened the sixth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, these are the martyrs of all ages. They're the people, all the people that are there. It's not, that's who they are. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Is that really what they want? Yeah, it is. It says so. But they're wanting their glorified bodies. And we're sitting down here wanting exactly the same thing. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season. How long is the little season? Well, it's until the rapture occurs. Group 2, sealed saved souls on earth. They are the fellow servants mentioned in this first group. They are the fellow servants awaiting rapture, catching up, and receipt of new glorified bodies. Now we're going to take Revelation 11b. He says, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Okay. Now, am I positive of what I'm going to say next? Yes, I am. Now, the fifth seal is now open and will get much worse as we await the opening of the sixth seal, when the Syrian Antichrist attacks Israel in a pre-planned counterattack against Israel. You've heard that so often, it just goes in, it's lodged up there. Okay, in a pre-planned counterattack against Israel. So when is that going to happen? They're going to attack and start the last 1,335 days of the tribulation period, just like that diagram I have passed out so often here. You all ought to have a copy. And I'm going to run off some more copies and put them out there. The Antichrist will lure Israel into the counterattack trap against Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. I have taught that for 40 years. This is where and when our archive prophecy diagram 321, diagram 321, the diagram begins and continues until the tribulation period ends. Now, we are starting in a period where you've got all kind of, I got one too many diagrams in there. You've got all kind of old world nations that are already starting to hammer their plowshares into swords. It's starting right now. And all this bloodshed and all these other things that are happening over there, this is a prelude. Now, I put that in my first book. And my first book was written in 1976. And I put that in there a long time ago, so people could look at it and see it. Diagram begins and continues until the tribulation period ending. Diagram 321 was issued on December 9th, 2011. Now, Seal 6 will open during the next administration. You say, you mean after Obama leaves office. I don't say is likely to open. I don't say may open during the next administration. I say Seal 6 will open during the next administration. You say, boy, if you're wrong, God's going to get you. Well, I'm going to take my chances because I sincerely and honestly believe from the depths of my soul that it's going to occur during the next administration. And that's when the last 1,335 days of the tribulation period are going to begin. And if that's time setting, well, I'm guilty of it. I do not know the day, the week, the month, or the year, nor do I know the season. But I know it is going to occur during the next administration. It cannot wait any longer. And I am watching the prelude to it over there right now. And by the time we get into the next phase of this, which I'll be covering, we will be right back in the Cold War. Matter of fact, we're already back in it. And I put out two blogs, four blogs actually about a year ago, and I warned people. I said, we're going back into the Cold War. And we are going back into the Cold War, and there's going to be umbrellas all over the place protecting different people, but that's exactly what we're going into. Seal 6 will open during the next administration to increase in intensity as the scriptures preview in Revelation 6, 12 through 17. Now here we go. When this sixth seal opens, I've taught for 40 years that it has to be an actual preview of what's going to happen right through the tribulation period until the pouring out of the last vial. I wrote that in 1976 and put it in my book, Tribulation Triad. And people looked at that and they said, you don't know that. And I said, I admit I don't. But I said, that's when I believe it is likely to occur. And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. I correlated every bit of that with the rest of the book of Revelation through the seventh seal, all the way through the seven trumpets, and all the way to the end, and I did it in the last chapter of the book. And I'm getting a lot of people wanting to read the book again. I said, just read the updates. Don't waste your money. Become as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken by a mighty wind. That's the comet. That's the comet. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, like a scroll is rolled together. You're reading it. It gradually rolls. The heavens roll together till you can't see the heavens anymore. And that's exactly what it was used for, to read out of, and rolled up and opened that way and read that way. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken by a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. That's when they first start to move. That's when the sixth seal opens. You say, Brother McElmurray, are you sure? Yes, I am. You say, well, that doesn't make it so. I'm acutely aware of that. But I'm telling you, and I know I'm going to have to answer for this in heaven, and I'm not worried. I believe that is when this is going to start, and I believe that when it starts, people are going to start running back into church, because that's not when the rapture occurs, and people are going to get scared out of their wits, and we're going to have this building full, and you're going to see a lot of people saved that never believed. You say, well, that doesn't seem fair. You think it's fair. You'll think it's fair when you see them standing there before the judgment seat in their underwear. You'll think it's fair then, because they had a chance. As a matter of fact, everybody from Adam all the way down through, they've had their chance. They've had their chance. If they had just put their faith in the seed and believed God's promises, they had their chance. We've had our chances. And I've tried to take advantage of mine, but I'm so scared of what I've discovered about myself, I wonder if I'm going to be inside that city. But I guarantee you one thing, I'm trying to live a life that is a humble one. Why? Because, man, I've got nothing to be proud of except Jesus. He says, and every mountain and island moved out of their places. Now listen to this, and the kings of the earth, and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and the bondsmen and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the cave. Listen, that's going to be going on from the time that sixth seal opens to the very end. But by the time of the very end, they're going to be dug in there so deep that they'll probably consider themselves safe, and ain't nobody going to be saved during those seven vials of wrath. Nobody. Well, what does all this mean to me? Well, I'm not worried about people that are saved that don't belong to this church, but I do try to get them to join. But they're saved, and they're going to heaven, and I just accept that. And when I talk to a Pentecostal preacher that believes he's saved and believes that God saved his soul and sealed it, I don't argue with him. I just tell him what I believe and go on. But I'll tell you, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can't just take the Bible and pick verses out. They've all got to fit together. So when you talk about this sort of thing, what you're really talking about is something that is at the end of the tribulation period, at least the beginning of it. Therefore, they are they which came out of great tribulation. Well, let's go on back up here to this thing. I beheld, he says, and he brought forth a man who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and the child was caught up into the throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay. Which group is that? Well, in this Revelation chapter 7, if you're not careful, you'll say those are all Israelites. They are not. Now, they do appear in the same chapter, chapter 7, and they are just before this. But I want you to notice what this said. There are 144,000 sealed Israelites. Notice what this says in Revelation 7, 9 through 17, after just telling you of the different tribes that are going to be 12,000 from each one that are going to total 144,000. But notice what he says after that. After this, after he sees the 144,000, which he identifies as Israelites, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations. Take a look at that. Of all nations. Where'd they come from? And kindreds. And people. And tongues. Stood before the throne. And before the Lamb and the people. And the Lamb. Clothed with white robes. And palms in their hands. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God. Now notice what's said next. Saying, blessed and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Those are all the saved. And they're going to be outside the wall probably. But I'm concerned about one thing. I'm concerned that I preach the word accurately, that I distribute it over the internet accurately, that I teach you accurately here, and that I identify how I'm related to it and how you're related to it, but he puts an amen in here. That's all the saved. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, he asked him a question, he did it for a reason. What are these which are arrayed in white robes? Well, they just got a bunch of white robes back there in the seals. And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. Man, I love his answer. I've got guile, and I understand why he gave him that answer, because he didn't have the foggiest idea. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. And if you look that up, you'll find it's got the definite article before it in the original language. Came out of the great tribulation. That's saved people. So, you know, a lot of kids worry about their children because they aren't in church. So do I. But I want to tell you something. I rejoice daily that I know my children all are saved. And whenever I get a chance, I put a little sneaky comment in there without hurting their feelings. And that's all I know to do. And I'm a very happy man. I'm not angry with God because they're saved. And I'm not angry with them because they haven't followed him. Because they're fitting the pattern. And I will see them in heaven. And we will go in and out of the gate. We will make contact with them. We are the leaves that go outside the gate of the New Jerusalem. You say, are you sure of that? I'm positive. You say, well, you sure are putting out a lot of positives. You know why I am? Because we don't have much time. And I've held these views for a long time, but I've kept them to myself because I knew they would get me into trouble, and they did in the ABA. And they wouldn't publish my first book. I realize that. But I have to answer to God. And back there, I did everything I could to not to tell people what I believed about the rapture until 1992. And finally, I just gave up and I said, here I come, like it or not. And I did everywhere I went after that. Now, he says, Joel 3, old world plowshares are now in process of being beaten into swords for final war during the next U.S. administration. Here we go. Joel 3:10. Beat your plowshares into swords. That's going on right now. It's going on all over the old country. Look at what Russia is. She's rebuilding. Look at China. Lordy mercy. We weren't scared at all of China when I was in the National Security Agency. They didn't have zip. And I helped to locate the first missile silo inside communist China. So I know what I'm talking about. And I dealt with missiles. And I'm telling you, what has happened is that after all of them collapsed, now they're rebuilding and we're funding them by giving money to them. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. You want to see the weak nations among the Arabs? Let the weak say, I am strong. What about the rest of those Arab nations? Assemble yourselves and come. All ye heathen, and gather yourselves together. Leonard, I didn't know what to do. I asked Cindy, but Robin's boy was out there, and he asked me, he said, Leonard told us that we could, you know, put everything together and that we'd maybe take turns teaching a class. He said, can I go out there and teach them? And I said, well, I don't know what to do. And I asked Cindy, she didn't know what to do either. So I said, okay, you got time to go teach them if you want to be back there with them. Go in there and sit in on them. It ought to be interesting. How'd it go down there? Don't tell him that. He already had it planned. It was predestined. Okay. All ye heathen, and gather round about, thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Now let's look at Daniel 11:40. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south. You know what that represents? Israel. Do you know who's going to come with him? The weak Arab nations down to the south. They're going to come up with him. They're going to come up with him. Nations like Saudi Arabia, nations like Egypt, nations like those that aren't aligned with him now. You notice I never put Egypt in all my books. I never put them in that group that was going to actually be a part of the Antichrist army. Look at all those little nations around Saudi Arabia that border her. Most of them are pro-Iran. Go on across and look at the others on the other side. And Jordan's going to bail out when the Antichrist comes down and rush down in there with Negev because they're Semites. And so everything over there is now gelling around. And it's Israel is the king of the south, leading at the Ptolemy, but Ptolemy was the head of that place. And Seleucid was the head of the northern kingdom. And Israel represents where Ptolemy was with his troops when all this stuff started and Daniel started writing about it. And they're going to unite with Israel. People don't believe that. They are out of fear. Man, you unite with the devil to save yourself, but it's not going to do them any good. And Israel will rush up in there, thinking they can go right back into Lebanon like they have so many times, tear them up, and we'll start over again. But it's not going to work that way this time. Because you're going to have Turkey. You're going to have Lebanon. You're going to have Iraq, which won't even be considered. It'll be part of Iran by then. And you're going to have Iran, and you're probably going to have Afghanistan. You're going to have them charging down through there, and they're going to overrun that place, and they're going to take over all those nations down there, and that'll be the caliphate. And Israel is going to be sitting there trapped in the Negev wilderness. And do you think the Antichrist is a fool? I don't. He won't attack Israel. Good Lord, I know what they've got over there. I watched them put it in. I mean, actually watched them put it in. I don't think I'm violating any security thing. It's all showing up over there now, and I don't know why I can't tell people. I've been telling them since 1992 and even before that. I watched them do it. I know what's over there. And so does the Antichrist, because the Soviets were just as good at intercepting back then, almost, as we were out of the National Security Agency. And they shared their information with all the other Arab nations. How do I know that? We intercepted that too. So I know what they know. And the Antichrist is not about to attack down there. He's going to get the weak nations around him, and he's going to turn it into a caliphate. You say, Brother Michael Murray, that sounds too pat. It may sound too pat, but that's exactly what's going to happen. And I'm telling you because I believe you can just sit and watch it happen. And as you do, it'll be an encouragement to you. And if I weren't so certain of it, I wouldn't even tell you about it. But I'm telling you because this is going to strengthen your faith when all this stuff starts to come in and you say, man alive. And that's when your faith will increase because you've seen this particular thing happen that the Bible indicated. And it's coming. It's coming. He says, and said to the mountains, fall on us, hide us from the face of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? He tells them to beat their plowshares into swords. He tells them all this other stuff. And then he gets down to where the king of the south pushes at him, at the Antichrist, and the king of the north, who will be the Antichrist. And I just named the nations I thought would come down with him. And they will go down and conquer those other nations that are aligned with Israel. And Israel will have to be left alone. And they can't protect those other nations. They're going to withdraw into the Negev. And they can protect themselves. And they will stay there for 3.5 years. You say, are you sure of that? I'm positive. I'm positive. Like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and many ships. And enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. Okay. What about this woman in the wilderness? All these scriptures interconnect. Revelation 12, 5 and 6. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to the throne. Now here we go. And this is when he comes down. And already the things over there that are coming into shape are going to happen in the next administration. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they, the nations, and which nations? They're going to be pretty limited. United States is going to be one of them. I think Britain will be another one. I think that Australia will be another one. But the Antichrist is going to let them do it because he's a fool if he doesn't. Because he does not want us involved in this. And I think the way the politicians are now and the way they're setting this up, they're going to try to protect the United States and the Hades with the rest of the world. That they should feed her 1,260 days. Revelation 7, 9 through 17. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. And all angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. That's praise. And that's praise in heaven. And that's where we're going to be. And that's what we're going to be shouting out to him, because we're going to be raptured on the seventh trumpet. And you better believe we're going to appreciate and respect God more for having gone through the first part of the tribulation period than if we had not. Because by that time, everybody is going to realize, my God, he is my God, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Comforter, the Counselor. It's going to be burned in your heart. And when he does come and take you out, you're going to have a pretty good idea of what's waiting for you on the other side, because you came to this church and you heard people teach this. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, we don't seem like anything special. That's why you were chosen. You don't look upon yourselves as anything special. I don't look upon myself. And if you come into this church and you think something special about yourself, you're either going to leave or start learning about yourself, one or the other. Because God is running this show. And if He's not your God in worship and praise and all these things, you need to realize how important He is. And one of the elders answered, saying to him, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." I love this answer. And he said unto me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation." That's the great tribulation. "And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." How does that work? I'm going to tell you exactly. And you won't have to worry about it. I guarantee you this is dead reckoning. A navigator knows what dead reckonings is. You can't get any more accurate than this. And he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You know what your Christian life is? You know what my Christian life is? Fighting a battle every day against your carnal nature. I guarantee you, that's what it is. Now, some of you are really pleasant people. You're easy to get along with. You get a little irritated at times, just like me. But you ask God to forgive you. You know you're taught, you know He does. And you ask for forgiveness, and then you keep on going till the day you die or you lose your mind. That's what a Christian life is. You won't go through a single day in the rest of your life that you won't think a thought that's displeasing to God. You just will not. You say, "What do you do about it, Tom?" Well, I understand it. I try very hard not to have any kind of thought that would be displeasing to God. But it happens every day. Sometimes more than once. Have you ever stopped and really thought about that? Do you think it's going to go away one day when you reach a plateau? Do you think when you lose your mind that you'll be all right? Because you won't have any idea what's going on. And God won't hold you accountable for anything. He doesn't hold children accountable until the Holy Spirit decides they're accountable. And that varies with children. Some are maybe as early as age 5 or 6. I don't like that age but and some of them never reach accountability. I used to go to children's colonies all the time. They never reach accountability. So, you feel guilty all the time, don't you? Every time you sin, you feel guilty. Well, I got some wonderful news for you. It's not going to stop. It ain't going to stop. You say, "Well, what am I going to do?" Ask God to forgive you. Listen to this. This happens when you seek the kingdom of God. I guarantee it happens. It happened to me today. It happened to me yesterday. I don't even know the last time. I don't even think I ever got through a day without sinning. And seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Mammon. Well, God's doing pretty good. I got a parsonage. It's not mine. But you let me live in it with my family. And God provided it. And all these things shall be provided unto you. Okay. What am I supposed to do? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I've just got to keep asking God for forgiveness every time I have a rotten thought. You say, "Well, have you ever asked for forgiveness if you weren't sure it was a rotten thought?" Sure. because sometimes I'm not quite sure whether it is or not. You say, well, God won't accept that. Yes, he does. He knows your problems. He knows your troubles. So coming to this church is a blessing. Y'all thank God for it, because I give you my word before the Lord, and I think I can speak for the other preachers and the deacon and for the people who come here. We're very blessed to be here because you love us and you care for us and you put up with our little idiosyncrasies, and some of them aren't little idiosyncrasies, but you put up with them anyway. He says, and I said unto him, Sir, what thou knowest? And he said, These are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Well, wait a minute. That happened when I got saved. No, that's my outer garment. And every time I sin and I go to ask God for forgiveness, I am washing my outer robe in the blood of Christ. That's the truth. Read the 15th chapter of John. Leonard did an excellent discourse on that. And he's an excellent teacher. We don't need competition between the preachers and the deacon in this church, and we don't have any. And we want to keep it that way because we have great respect for one another. And we gain that through getting to know one another and learning about one another and understanding that each one of us has his own shortcomings. So I'm not worried about it, but I pray about it all the time. So you pray about it also, because every time you sin and you go and ask for forgiveness, what does that mean? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we ask forgiveness for our sins, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's pretty plain, pretty simple. Do you know what man has done? He has complicated the Word of God. Do you know why we got so many different religions? You know why we got so many different people meeting? Even tonight on Wednesday night, most of them don't anymore, but meet. You know why they come together like this? They come together like this because even in the condition they're in, they at least have enough sense that there's a God and they're coming down there. And maybe by the grace of God, they'll realize when this happens, I'm in the wrong church, and maybe they'll start looking for a church. What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to realize that a Christian walk is a daily thing, and sufficient unto it day by day is a process whereby God washes our outer garments and washes our feet. That's the way you're supposed to do it. He said, Therefore are they before the throne of God and shall dwell among them. He said, Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Now, there is no temple in the New Jerusalem. So they're going to be serving God inside the walls of the millennial kingdom that Ezekiel wrote about. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. There he is right in the middle of them, inside the walls of the millennial city. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no sadness for us. And we will be chomping at the bit to get up in the next kingdom and to go outside to the people that are outside the city and minister to them as the leaves. What leaves? The leaves of the tree of life. You know what the tree of life is? Made out of papyrus leaves. They wrote on papyrus leaves. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you make it so simple. No, God made it simple. I just uncorrupted it by the leadership of His Spirit. And I'm telling you, there has been so much corruption to the Word of God. I think there are some churches like Jehovah's Witness, I don't think you can even be saved in them. But fortunately, I'm not sure of that. And so I'm just thankful that God was merciful to me and that he was merciful to you. And here I am tonight, the Prince of Mercy. Y'all are going to get out 10 minutes early. Ken, you want to dismiss us?